Hi, everybody. My name is Jim. I'm a compulsive overeater. It's really great to be here with you all today to share my story. I am what I've often heard called in these rooms a double winner. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous as well as Overeaters Anonymous, and the two stories get mangled up with each other from time to time. So you'll probably hear me speak a little bit about AA as I go along. My abstinence date is August 10th of 2022, last year, about 6.5 months ago. But some of you will note that I have been in these rooms for longer than that, and it's part of my story, I'm afraid. I want to thank Carol for inviting me. It's great. It's great to be here, especially to share my story with this group. I must admit to a little bit of nerves. This is the first time I've ever told my story at an OA meeting. I am a trial lawyer by profession, so I'm used to speaking in public. But every time I talk in my professional capacity, it's always to a much smaller group of 12 people, the number of jurors in a trial. And it's always about somebody else's failures and somebody else's pain, somebody else's suffering. And today I've got to talk about my own, and that creates a little bit of anxiety. So hopefully I will be able to do it. I remember my very first time I ever told my story at an AA meeting. I was a nervous wreck, and I went to my AA sponsor and for some advice. And I'll never forget, he said to me, there are three stories. There's the story we plan to tell, the story we tell, and the story we wish we had told. And then he said, just speak from the heart and everything will be okay. And I thought that was brilliant. So much so that the first time after that, my sponsor was speaking and a couple, maybe a year later, and I asked him if he was nervous. He admitted as to how it was, and being somewhat of a smart ass, I said to him, well, there are three stories. And he just looked at me and gave me that look that sponsors often give to sponsees when they're getting ready to tell them something they don't know. And he pointed over to his sponsor and he said, that's what he told me the first time I ever spoke. And I learned something very important that day. And it applies to OA as well. There is nothing new in OA. We have a shared wisdom that is passed down from sponsor to sponsee, from one overeater to another overeater. And in the same light, there's nothing new or unique about me either. My story is, at its essence, your story. I'm powerless over food. And when I binge, my life becomes unmanageable. I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, and I made the decision to let him. I can't. He can. I'll let him. It really is that simple. And with that, everything important that there is to know about my OA story. But I don't think Carol would be happy if I stopped here. So I'll go ahead and tell you a little bit about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. As I look at my life through the lens of OA, I realize that I have always had a difficult relationship with food, and never could control my eating, especially when it came to sweets, once I started. If I started, I had to finish it, all of it, unless some parent or outside reason stopped me. If I started on something, I finished it. I had no control at all. And as an adult, I went from diet to diet to diet. I was constantly on that merry-go-round. I would gain a lot of weight, and then decide, well, it's time to lose it. And I'd go to Weight Watchers or I'd do some other diet. I can't tell you how many times I have achieved Weight Watchers lifetime status. And what would happen is I would go and I would lose the weight and I would stop going and I would put it back on again. And this was just a trend that kept going and going. I don't want to talk a lot about war stories here, but I do want to give you one example to show you how just totally out of control I was. Many, many years ago, my daughter from Germany and her two little kids came over to visit me. And I bought a pack of ice cream sandwiches. They were like 18 ice cream sandwiches in a box. And I bought this pack of ice cream sandwiches so that the kids would have something to eat. And they went off for the day, and I was doing something around the house and having a couple of drinks. And all of a sudden, the thought crossed my mind, I bet an ice cream sandwich would be good. And I ended up finishing the rest of that box that was in the freezer in no time flat. And I thought, well, the kids are going to want to have something when they get home, so I should go to the store and buy a replacement box, which I did, except I bought two boxes. And I ate another whole box of 18, and I ate four out of the third box so that when the kids got home, there were the same number of ice cream sandwiches there as when they had left. The only difference was they were all wondering why Grandpa wasn't feeling good when they got home, because 36 ice cream sandwiches will do that to you. And that's the insanity this disease. 14 years ago, I came to terms with my problems with alcohol. I had always blamed alcohol for my eating problems prior to this. If I binged at something, it was because I had been drinking and didn't have control of it. Of course, I was always drinking and I was always binging, so the two went hand in hand. But 14 years ago, I came into AA, and on December 10th, 2008. When I was thinking about this talk today, I realized that both my sobriety date and my abstinence date are on the 10th of the month. So I'm beginning to think maybe 10 is my lucky number. I don't know. But I came in and I got a sponsor and I worked the steps and I had what I think was a pretty good, I have what I think is a pretty good AA program. I had sponsees, service. I mean, I just really took to it and had a great AA program. The problem was that one of the things they tell you when you first walk into a room of Alcoholics Anonymous is that you should keep some sweets around, to when you have a desire to drink, it'll help get you over that hump if you eat some sweets. Well, that was like letting the fox guard the hen house for me, because I just I said, okay, well, I'm not going to drink, but I'm free to eat as many sweets now as I want to eat, the way I took it. And things got pretty bad. I went to a store once during this time period and bought a bag of, I saw this at the store, bought a bag of chocolate covered pretzels, and I went home and I ate that entire bag at one sitting. And the next day I went home and I bought two bags of chocolate covered pretzels, one to eat on the way home and one to eat when I got home. And that became a regular thing. I was just buying these bags of chocolate covered pretzels every day. And finally, I decided, I'm getting a little concerned that the clerk of the store that I'm going to may begin to think that I have a chocolate covered pretzel problem. So I started spreading out my purchases to other stores around and about. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, this is alcoholic type thinking, and this could be a problem. not thinking that it was a food issue, but thinking that it was an alcohol issue. And I talked to my sponsor, and I remember he said, "Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, as long as you're not drinking, everything's fine." And herein lies the difference between OA and AA. And I've heard, I hope she doesn't mind me pointing her out, but I've heard Blythe say this on numerous occasions, and it has struck me as being absolutely true, that Overeaters Anonymous works because it's one overeater talking to another. And Alcoholics Anonymous works because it's one alcoholic talking to another. My sponsor was not an overeater in AA. He had no idea of what it was like to not be able to stop eating sweets once you started. He knew what it was like with alcohol, but he had no idea about sweets. And his response to me was, "You just keep right on going, you know? As long as you're not drinking, everything's fine." Well, everything wasn't fine. And I began to put on a lot of weight. I gained more weight than I had ever had been carrying before, and decided that I needed to do something about it. I mean, my suits were not fitting, my dress shirts, I couldn't button them. I had to wear a tie with the button unbuttoned at the top, you know. It was not a pretty sight. So I went back on the diet merry-go-round again, on and off. Once again, I would go to Weight Watchers, get a lifetime status, and then leave, and I'd go back to gaining weight again. I kept trying to get that, when I was depressed or not feeling good, that sense of ease and comfort that binging on sweets would give me for that very short period of time. And then, of course, the pain that followed that, when the realization that I've done it again. I just can't get control of this. So around 2021, I was, live meetings had started back up in my area. And there was a woman that went to an AA meeting that I go to. And she had the courage, and real courage, to talk about her problems with food in those AA meetings and how OA had helped her. And how OA and AA sort of worked together in her program. And I really felt as if she was talking about me, you know, in my situation. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to go to a few OA meetings and see if I can get a handle on this. So I went online, looked up where the OA meetings were going to be, and decided I would go. Well, not a single OA meeting I went to was where it was supposed to be. I couldn't find the meeting at the locations that I went to. Now, if I'm honest with you, which I'm supposed to be, I will tell you that I probably went about a half hour early before anybody else got there. If nobody was there, I didn't stick around and try to look a lot to find them. I was getting out as fast as I could and saying, "Ooh, I don't have to deal with that today." But things weren't getting any better. They just weren't. I had a moment of clarity in Costco one day. It's a weird place to have a moment of clarity, but they come wherever they come. And for me, it was Costco. I was there and I met an AA friend of mine, and he and I were talking. Now, this is a guy I've been in AA with from the very beginning. We came in about the same time. We were very close friends. We know everything about each other. And we're standing there beside this case that had these cakes, these huge Costco cakes in the case. And I'm talking to my friend, and all I can think about is that cake. And I wonder if I could eat that in one sitting. Can't even hear what my friend is telling me or talking about. And he left, and I put that cake in my, I reached down in the case, put it up and put it in the shopping cart. And then I started piling stuff on top of it so nobody would see that I had bought this cake. I was afraid that my friend would see it, as if he would care. But for some reason, I
5 minutes.
Thank you. Some reason I felt I needed to hide it. That was the moment that I said, I've got to do something. And the next morning I went to my AA meeting, and the woman wasn't there who had been in OA, but her husband was. And I asked him which meeting she went to. I needed to find the meeting. I needed to do something. And he told me about this meeting, this 4 p.m. Big Book meeting, and gave me the ID and the password. And I came here for the first time, and I felt immediately at home. I felt immediately welcomed. I felt for the first time that I was with people who understood about my eating obsessions. And I got abstinence almost immediately. And I got a sponsor, and I worked the first three steps. And I was sort of on a pink cloud for a long time. I sort of dug my heels in on the fourth and fifth step. And here was my thinking. I've done that step a couple of times in AA. And I've taken a bunch of guys through those steps. I really don't need to do the fourth and fifth step. And I'm rolling along. Things are great. And one day I'm at my office, and I pull open the desk drawer, and there's a piece of chocolate. Who knows how long it had been there? And without even thinking, and without the first moment's defense, I popped that piece of chocolate in my mouth and ate it. Things went downhill immediately. I from that point on, I was going in and out of abstinence. It was a terrible place to be. I would see friends on this meeting that came in about the same time I came in, and see how they had blossomed and grown. And I was still struggling to get abstinent. The only thing I did right was that I kept coming. And I'm so glad I did, because one day we were reading out of page 73 of the Big Book. And we read this sentence, and I'd like to read it to you tonight. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is they never completed their house cleaning. And that just slapped me upside the head. I underlined it a couple of times, and I wrote in the margin, I need to do a fourth step inventory. And I did. I called my sponsor. I worked on it for a while. I did it. I then sent it to him, and we did a fifth step together. And for the first time, I really felt a part of OA, and that I really was on this journey with you guys. I love being abstinent. I love not being on a diet anymore, or feeling like I'm on a diet anymore. I love the fact that I don't care what the scale says anymore. I'm more interested in how I feel than what a scale says. I'm more interested in my spiritual health and how that relates to not binging on food. And I love this meeting. The way we read the Big Book in this meeting, just a couple of paragraphs at a time, I have gotten more insight from the Big Book through this meeting than I ever did in the 13 years prior when I would be reading it in AA. And I've read it numerous times. And just the insight and the understanding that I've gotten from the way we do it in this meeting has been so powerful. If I can leave you guys with one thought from this talk, it would be don't don't leave before the miracle happens. This program does work if you work it. I don't know if you've ever seen a miracle or not, but you're looking at one now. And the good news I would like to leave with each and every one of you is I'm looking back at a whole Zoom room full of them. I'm grateful to be abstinent today. And by the grace of God and your help, I have hope that I'll be abstinent tomorrow. Thanks for letting me share.